Tonight, if you would, turn with us to Genesis chapter number 24. The song talked about God found a beggar and we found a king. I'm going to talk about tonight about what the servant of Abraham found when he went down there to fetch a bride. Amen. And so we'll preach on that tonight. Just give you a few thoughts that the Lord spoke to us about. And, you know, really, that's the only way I know to preach. Just preach what God gives me and what he speaks to me about. Brother Ricky talked about that to her this morning, how God laid that message on your heart and he spoke to you and you just obeyed him. And seemingly sometimes you feel like it don't do nothing, but you find out that it does. And no doubt all the thousands of messages that you've preached and just try to obey God, God always has a purpose for it. He's got a plan. Anyway, as we study this week here, God, we preached out of this passage I don't know how many times, but God showed us some things there this week, and to anybody else, it's probably just elementary and simple, but I tell you what, it blessed me. I just want to preach it tonight, God being our helper. And I'd like to read some select verses here in Genesis chapter 24. And the only reason I'm skipping over is just because it would be a long chapter to read. And plus, there's several places in here where the servant, Abraham's eldest servant, it sort of repeats what just happened as he's recalling the story. So I'm not trying to skip nothing. I'm just wanting to get to the select verses that we're wanting to deal with tonight. Verses 1 through 4, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Most likely Eliezer. Doesn't explicitly say here, I don't think. But verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Verse 22, and it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, a half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands, and 10 shekel weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And also, let's go down to verse number 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Let's pray tonight and ask for the Lord's help. Your Heavenly Father, we thank you for you letting us be here tonight. We pray, Lord, for those that's love to be here and, Lord, not able, that you'd help them. But, Lord, while we're here, I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us and through us tonight, God. And, Lord, as only you can, Lord, we can't preach without your help. We can't do a single thing, Lord, except you help us tonight. And we ask tonight, God, that you would have your will and way in all this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to preach the message tonight involving the Father's plan. The Father's plan. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And as we tonight start talking about the Father's plan, I won't ask for a show of hands tonight, but is there anybody here that's old and well stricken in age? I can see, I don't see anybody here tonight. I see some fingers are pointing, but I don't want to get involved in this. Okay, so I guess this message is for somebody else tonight then. I tell you what, you can just take notes tonight and use this for when you do get old and well stricken in age. But I believe some folks here tonight could say that the Lord has blessed them in all things.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Can anybody raise their hand to that tonight?
Amen.
But you know, we joke around about getting old and stuff. I believe there's a few things that are very honorable in the Bible. I believe getting old is one of them.
Amen.
You get seasoned. You learn more.
Amen.
You have experiences that can't be learned in a book.
Amen.
So getting old ain't a bad thing. And you know what? You can help others.
Amen.
And we find here that one of the most consequential decisions that Abraham ever made was when he was old and well stricken in age.
Amen.
May I say tonight that at a point in time in a person's life, whenever he thinks that, you know, his life is coming to an end or he don't have many years ahead of him, of course we never know how many years we got ahead of us, but we can still make decisions, whether they be good ones or bad ones, that could make a lasting impact on not only our life, but somebody else's life. In the case here of Abraham, he made decisions that affected his family for the rest of their entire life. But not only that, he made decisions that affected the world, the rest of down to where we're at right now concerning Israel. You know, God, if you're here this tonight, and God's put air in your lungs and let you take another breath, He's still got a plan for you. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, the plan of the Father, the Father's plan. And so He has a plan for us tonight, and I believe we need to want and desire to be used of God no matter what stage in life that you and I are in. And about this plan tonight, I believe that we could say that it was an important plan. It was so important that He took His eldest servant. He didn't pick the youngest. He didn't pick one that was inexperienced, but he took His choice man and said, "I've got an important job for you to do." And as a matter of fact, He has him to swear an oath. He said, "I want you to carry this out. I've got instructions. I've got specific things for you to do, a place for you to go, and this is how I want you to handle it, because I know that you'll carry out these very important instructions." And I'll say tonight concerning the instructions that you and I have regarding what God has placed in His Word, I believe it's very important what He has placed in your and I trust tonight concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been studying the book of Romans there, and Paul opens up in chapter number 1 talking about how that he is not in debt to God, but he's a debtor to the Greek and the barbarian. And what he's saying is that he's in debt to his fellow man to share the gospel with him and tell them. You see, any time that you're dealing with souls, it's a serious thing. It's a very important thing. You see, Abraham had already dealt with the time whenever they were at battle, and you know he had paid tithes unto Melchizedek, and he had blessed him and all that, and then came the king of Sodom. You see, he was interested in the persons that he had. This, by the way, were the souls that he got in Haran. The Bible calls it, they were souls, you see. And that's what the devil's interested in. He's interested in your soul. And he said, "You can have your things, you can have your goods," but Abraham had enough wisdom. He had enough God about him to say, "Listen, I'm not going to take nothing from you, praise God. What I've got, God's give me, and you're not going to get any of the credit for it." And so he knew what it was like to be able to put his trust in God. He knew what it was like whenever it come to the souls and those people that were with him, and how important it was to carry out the instructions that God had given him. And God has given us a very important task when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to the ministry. But not only that, as a Christian and as a person in this world that you and I live, as one to tell others about Christ and tell them how they can escape the flames and torment of hell through and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an important plan. But not only that, it's a sacred plan. You see, he wasn't just to go and fetch my bride anywhere. He said, we're not going to get anyone here around the Canaanites, down here where we're at. That's not the Lord's will. But God has had a will for him of his own people. And, you know, there's a very practical thought to be preached right there, and to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I believe we should seek, if a person's single, they should seek to marry someone of like faith, and someone especially who's a believer. But I believe even beyond that, of like faith. Amen. I'm glad that me and Abby, when God joined us together, our first argument wasn't over the mode of baptism. Amen. Amen. We might have argued over other things, but it wasn't the things of the faith. Amen. We'd already agreed on those things, and we know how we believe. Praise God. And I believe it goes a long ways. But it's not only limited to that thought of being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but I believe it goes with how we walk and we talk and our fellowship and who we hang around and who we associate with. Yes, we're in the world, but we should not be of the world, is what the Bible teaches you and I. And so God has a sacred plan. He has a plan to set us apart and to bring us out from among the world. Be a separate people. Thus, as the Lord taught the nation of Israel, so he taught the same principle to the church, to be a separate people. And what that means is that God doesn't set us apart and set us on a shelf somewhere, but God sanctifies us for the particular reason of being used of him. And that's what God wants us to do. You see, preachers and deacons and teachers ain't the only ones that God has a plan for. He's got a plan for every one of us. He's got a plan to use us in our own particular way, and it's to live a separated, consecrated life unto the glory of God. We're living in a time, friend, where there's a lot of pressure in the world. And this right here, we started out talking about the older. Now, I believe this is a thought very relevant to everybody, but especially the younger people. They're going to be subject to a lot of pressures, a lot of peer pressures. You know, make you feel like it's your, you know, you're not cool or you're not accepted if you don't go along with what we do and what we say is accepted. But friend, we shouldn't worry about being accepted of man.
Amen.
We shouldn't be worried about being accepted of our friends, but we should come to the place to where we're concerned about God accepting our actions and God being pleased with how we treat our lives and our testimony and our walk and our talk. And, you know, but they'll say things like this, well, everybody's doing it. You mean you're going to be a weirdo? You mean you're not going to do this? You're not going to do that? I mean, you can pick whatever subject comes to mind. And I know one of the ones in particular, whenever I was, growing up and my friends that I was around, was that of drinking. You see, they thought it was okay, you know, to drink a beer and here and there and stuff. But God done showed me, thank God, that was wrong. And you know what? It was nothing of anything that we had done or any of our ability, but God placed it in her heart to reject that. And to the point to where we didn't want to be around. And I remember one story in particular, you'll like this, some buddies that I coon hunted with. And when we was in high school and school and stuff, they didn't carry on with none of that, you see. Or if they did, I didn't know about it. But when we got older and out of school, we was driving down Caney Ridge one night. I'll never forget it. And I looked over there, and he had that drink. I said, what's that? He said, well, he said, you want to drive? I said, no, that's not the problem. And I'm normally not this bold. I'm normally, but God gave it to me. I said, either that beer goes out the window right here, or you can let me walk to the house. And I was so serious about it, I was already thinking, well, do I need to walk to the house, or I need to walk where my truck's at? Because both of them was a pretty fair piece. But I was prepared by the grace of God because I know it didn't please him. And I know if I want to be right with God, I need to be around that. Next thing you know, that beer was going out the window. And you know what? We never really did gee and haw much after that. But you know what? My prayer is that he got things right with God. But if not, my prayer also is every time he turns that drink up, he remembers that one flying out the window up on Caney Ridge.
Amen.
People remember when you take a stand. And he'll remember that was wrong. And he'll remember it's not right in his life. And he'll be reminded that he needs to get things right with God. And young people here tonight, you don't need to be concerned about what your friends think. You don't need to be concerned about what the world thinks. You don't need to be concerned about what man's law says. But you need to be concerned about what thus saith the word of the Lord. You need to be concerned about what God says about a matter. And friend, you take a stand and you can do it with confidence and say, I know if I stand with God, He's going to stand with me. And if I go with God's plan, He'll take care of me and He'll prosper my way and He'll show me which way I need to go. And I guarantee you, I don't know much tonight. I know he's talking about these seasoned saints, and I guarantee everyone can join me and say that you can't go wrong serving the Lord.
Amen.
You just can't beat it.
Amen.
You can't go wrong serving the Lord and following His plan. And so, you know, the world says, well, you know, it couldn't be too bad. And I got to wondering, I'd hate to hurt Isaac's testimony, because he may not even have these thoughts, but you know, he probably had opportunities, you know, to be eyeing them Canaanite girls. You know, maybe some of his friends might say, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if you took one of them for a wife. It might not cost you as much, amen. You wouldn't even have to go on a journey to go get them. They're not, you know, it's okay, you know, they're good people and everything, but you know what, it wasn't the Father's plan. We need to go with God's plan. We need to go with what His plan is for our Christian life. And He, by the way, He has a plan for your Christian life. I said, well, what is it? It's right here in this book. I said, well, I don't know God's plan for my way. You ain't in the book. Amen. He's got a plan for your life. And stick with Him. Go with God. And so we see the Father's plan. It's a precious plan. It's a predetermined plan. It's an important plan. It's a sacred plan. But I want to talk about the presentation of this plan that he had for his son. And so he used his servant, of course, like I said, most likely Eliezer, and he gave him specific instructions to go down and to take him a wife down from around where he was of his own kindred. And he had the very specific instructions given by God that, you know, they was to meet in a certain way and God was going to reveal it. In other words, his plan involved God's providence. You know, I believe that we should trust in God's providential hand in our life.
Amen.
And I believe that we should believe tonight that God can lead us and that he can guide us. And we put things in his hands. You know, not that we're bad about saying, okay, Lord, I'll let you have it, but then the next thing you know, you put it back in your control somewhere or the other. You put it back where you can control and you can take hold of it, but we need to put it in his hands, you know, and that's what this servant did. It was up to the Lord. He was following what his master had told him, and he was going down here to fetch a bride for his master's son. And you know what? He knowed exactly who he was going for, but he didn't know exactly where at, how it was going to happen. He knew that God was going to work it out. I believe he was trusted in God's plan. And you know, that ought to be the same way in our Christian walk whenever it comes to our testimony and seeking out those that are lost. You know, people got it figured out. Well, I think this person might make a good Christian. I think this person, boy, they'd make such a good Christian. You know, I wonder if they said that to the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, oh, I wonder if the church, you know, they were sitting around talking, boy, that Saul of Tarsus would make such a good Christian. Somebody needs to witness to him. Somebody needs to tell him about Jesus. You know, he'd make such a good Christian. You know, it ain't like that. The instructions that we have according to God's plan is whosoever, amen, go into all the world. That's the instructions that you and I have. We shouldn't worry about, well, whether this one's ready or this one's not. He's given us the gospel to go into all of the world, and that's God's plan. And so he followed those instructions that were given to him. And, of course, our instructions are to whosoever. And so we can follow that. We can go with God's plan. So that's what he had with him. He had the instructions. What's something else that this servant had with him? He had 10 camels. And those camels, I believe, are very significant. They carry a very precious cargo, amen. And so it says here, look in verse number 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time when the women come out to draw water. No doubt whenever you went anywhere in this area, if you was going to travel the amount of distance that they was going to here, you was going to need some help. It wasn't that you could just throw a canteen over your shoulder and take to walking. In other words, they went somewhere that they would have never went without these camels. You say, well, what do these camels mean? I believe these camels represent the grace of God. And the Bible says, you know, it talks about those, he caused those camels to kneel down by the well there. Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know, I've looked at this text here, and I've preached the message entitled, The Camels Are Coming, talking about when he's coming back to Isaac and when he's coming back with the bride and all that. But I thought about, what about the camels that was coming already, coming to her before she ever went to go grab her pitcher to go to the well that evening? The camels was already on their way. They had a purpose and a place to go. And so that kneeling down is a picture of how that God makes salvation available to all men, and he brings it down to where it's available. He bringeth it to man. And friend, there's the grace of God not only to bring salvation to you, but friend, there's grace of God to carry you home and to see you through. Amen. See, those camels took her to places that she'd have never went on her own. Has the grace of God carried you? Has the grace of God taken you places that you'd never be able to go on your own? Places that you just absolutely couldn't go? Friend, he's taken us to a city one day that we'd never be able to go except it be by the help of God. And friend, this salvation that you and I have, it's through and by Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we could attain, nothing that we could go out and seek on our own, but God sent it to us. And God brought it to where we was at. She couldn't go over there where Abraham was at. She couldn't go there and present herself, but God, they had to come to where she was at. And it's no different concerning salvation for you and I. God has to come to where you and I are at, and he brings it to us, and he makes it available to go to where you and I are at in order to make salvation available. But we see here that not only did he have these 10 camels, but the Bible says all the goods of the master were in his hand. See, he had some precious cargo. He was bringing all that represented what his master had. Have you ever thought about this? And God spoke to me when I was studying this about this. You know, and he presented those things to her. God wants you to be saved. Amen. Whenever you was lost and in your sin, did you get the idea that, yeah, the preacher preached on hell, he preached on the judgment of God, but at the same time you had the realization that God wanted you to be saved and that Jesus loved you and that God loved you? You know, that's what that represents there, is how the wooing of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit, and as I was reading this and studying this about this servant, I believe there's times you can see the excitement of this servant. Look there in verse number 17. And the servant ran to meet her. That sounds like to me somebody that's excited. I believe the servant was excited that he was carrying out the Father's plan. I believe he was excited that God's providential hand, amen, was seeing through this plan to bring back a bride for his son. And I believe tonight, if you and I are led of the Spirit of God, and we hear of a sinner that gets saved, and we see God moving and God working out his plan in not only our lives, but in the lives of others, I believe we'll get a little bit excited about it. Over there it said in verse 26 or 27, 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He saw God moving and he saw God working. And I thought about another place where there was excitement whenever a sinner got saved. The Bible says in Luke 15 and 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, I believe the angels could be rejoicing too, but it says in the presence of the angels of God. Who's in the presence of the angels of God? God. I believe every time there's a sinner, I believe this now, I believe every time a sinner gets saved, I believe God rejoices and Jesus is excited.
Amen.
That that sinner received Christ. And friend, that there's another one that the world's not going to get. There's another one that the devil's not going to take to hell. Amen. And it's a wonderful plan. It's a wonderful purpose that God has. And I believe it's something that you and I can get excited about tonight. And just as that servant, and by the way, he was the eldest servant. He may have been one of the ones that was as old as Abraham, one of the ones that's supposed to have been done. Amen. One of the ones that's supposed to kick back and take it easy until it's time for him to go on out. But he's excited about carrying out the plan of his master. He's excited about whenever he sees God working and moving. I believe we should be pleased whenever we see God working and moving. There's nothing that tickles me more. I like when God speaks to me. I'm glad when he helps me, ain't you? I'm glad whenever I hear a message out of the Word of God and it speaks to my heart. But if there's something that's even better, I like seeing somebody else get help.
Amen.
I like seeing somebody else get blessed. I like to see when somebody gets saved. I like to see somebody have a changed life and excited about serving the Lord. Amen. And I'm glad that we can still, no matter what area we are in our walk, we can still be concerned about the Father's plan for our lives and the lives of others. But he asked her two questions here. In verse 23, he says, and he said, whose daughter art thou? I'll tell you what that is in the original. It's, who are you? You know, the Holy Spirit of God, that's his objective in the life of a sinner, is for them to recognize who they are. He already knows who you are. He already knows your sinful condition. God already knows that you're a sinner, but just as he come to Adam in the garden and asked where Adam was, even though he knows exactly where he is, he was wanting Adam to know where he was at and Adam to recognize his condition. And friend, when the Spirit of God speaks to the heart of a sinner, he's not asking him who he is just to find out who he is, but friend, he's wanting that sinner to recognize who they are and that what they are. They are a sinner. That's what the Spirit of God does, how he works. And here's what else he had to ask. He said, is there room in thy Father's house for us to lodge in? He's saying, do you have room for me? I believe the Lord has asked the same of a sinner. Now, I don't believe in this idea that, you know, a sinner has to get cleaned up first before God can save him. But I believe what the Spirit of God does reveal, you know, he had all this to present to her and to show her. I believe she was going to come to the realization that her life, if she went with this man, that her life was about to change. And I believe it's the same in the life of a sinner, that if God reveals himself to them and he shows them things out of the Bible, he shows them their sinful condition and how that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need God, the Holy Ghost of God will show them that if you accept Jesus Christ, your life is going to change.
Amen.
There's nothing superficial about this. This that he's being revealed is real, and if you do this, if you go through with this and you fully trust Christ, your life is going to change. Not that the changing takes place, which, by the way, we're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about that grace coming to where you and I are at. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did he find grace before or after he started building the ark? Amen. It was before he started building the ark. See, he didn't start working and doing good deeds and then found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But friend, before he ever picked up a hammer, before he ever drove a nail, before he fell the first timber, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And so here, he's asking, do you have room for me? And that's how I believe God deals with the sinner. He said, will you receive Christ? Will you let me in? Will you let me change your life, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? It's not trying Jesus out. It's not trying out religion, but it's a change that he makes in the life of a sinner. You see, if you're a drunkard, God will change that.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you want to name, he'll change that. He'll deal in your heart. He'll show you that them things is wrong, and he'll work with you and show you. And I believe also in the life of a Christian, though, do you have room for him today in his plan for sinners, his plan for the church, what he wants Bible Way Baptist Church to do? Do you have room for him tonight in your life? I know we've all got busy lives. We've got things we've got to do. But do you make room in there for the Lord?
Amen.
And so getting saved doesn't require or have any prerequisites where you've got to clean up or you've got to do right first, because it'd never work. It'd be conditional. You'd always be trying and trying and trying and never be able, but God is the one that does the work. But friend, when it comes to this presentation of God's providential plan, you see, some of the things that I've said tonight would almost lead you to believe that, you know, in Calvinism, you know, God's providence and God, you know, had a plan for her and everything like that. But here's what messes all that up. You see, ultimately, it was up to her. He didn't come steal her. He didn't come say, hey, you've got to go with me. No, he was excited. He wanted to carry out that plan. But when it was all said and done and all these plans were made, look in verse number 58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. That's when we talk about salvation. That's ultimately what it is. God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will present his plan of salvation. He'll say, hey, I'm sent of the Father on behalf of the Son to tell you about him and tell you about what all that he owns and how that he'll take care of you. And here's even proof that he's going to take care of you. The proof's found in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. And I'm going to make you, I'll give you a new life. Your life will be totally changed. But you've got to agree to go with me. You've got to agree to let me in. You've got to agree that you'll go with this man. And so tonight, I don't know who God's speaking to. This message wound up having a lot in it about salvation. And, you know, the same thought could be applied concerning our service to the Lord. Will you go with him? And whatever it is he has planned for your life, will you go with the Lord? Maybe there's some people in your life that are trying to draw you one way. You know that it's not right. You know that it's not God's plan for your life. How about just go with the Lord and let the rest of it take care of itself? Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.